Hi, my name is Margaret, and you have ventured your way into the Beautiful Collision podcast. I believe when the good and amazing, great parts of your life collide with the bad, messy, and hard parts of your life, they make you into the beautiful and amazing person that you are. On this podcast, you're going to hear stories of people from all walks of life, and my hope is that you resonate with some and embrace your own story. Thanks for doing this, Shay.
I'm so excited. This is going to be good. This is going to be good. I'm excited.
Yes. Have you been on a podcast before?
I have never been on a podcast. No, actually. Really? Uh-oh, podcast version. I've done Instagram lives.
Okay.
Like I've joined in on people's lives, but I've never been on a podcast.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Beautiful Collision podcast. And today I have a wonderful special guest. Her name is Ashay Shaw. Well, that's like a mouthful saying that all together. But Ashay, thanks so much for being on the podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing so good. It's a little chilly, but I'm okay because I'm alone, and yes. I'll be alone by myself for an hour.
Yes, Ashay has two little ones, and I know we're going to talk about them, but I'm sure she's in her car right now. So this is this like the mommy escape situation?
And this is pure bliss. You have no idea. It's besides talking to you, it's silent. The sun is out. The birds are chirping. The tank is clean. I mean,
yes, girl.
Everything is great.
Yes, it's like paradise. It's literally like paradise.
Awesome. Yeah, I should have brought food to the car to eat alone.
Yes, girl. Yes, you should. You should. Okay, so Ashay, I want to introduce you to, or I want you to introduce yourself to the listeners. And so just say your name, kind of where you live. Well, you don't have to say where you live.
It's okay. I got you.
And then just kind of who you are, what makes Ashay
Ashay. Ooh.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay. So like you said, my name is Ashay Shaw and I am 28. I'll be 29 on February 4th. What? And I currently live in Fort Worth, Texas, but we found out on January 6th, that we will be moving to DC.
Oh my God.
Sometime in the summer. I'm super excited. I am a med school wife. Yes, you heard that correct. My husband's in med school, and we have two children. This is his last year. He graduates in May. Okay. So he actually matched. That's why we're moving to DC, and we'll be there for 4 years. And then who knows, wherever the wind blows. Like she said, I have two kids. My oldest is Kyan. He is 4. And my youngest is Kaiza. She is 2. And good God Almighty. If you want to know how I acted like a child, just look to her because it's kind of scary how much she acts like me.
Oh my gosh.
And I enjoy taking a lot of pictures and blogging. Okay. And I really like creating videos. I'm not good at it, but I like to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of your vlogs, like you have a little kind of vlog situation.
Yeah, I do. I do a lot of videos just like creating them about my kids. And just, I did a bunch of them when we went to Disney World 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that was really fun. But I don't know. I guess I like creating art. And that's always a person I've been. Artful, colorful, music, couple. I guess we're going to make that a word today.
Yeah.
I really enjoy art. And even though I'm super extroverted,
yeah,
I am not the... And I am adventurous. I'm not like the, okay, let's go jump off a bridge today. I'm like, okay, how about we go to an art museum?
There you go.
And stare at this sculpture for a few hours, even though COVID has basically ruined our outgoing life.
No, I understand. Yeah. Okay. So that's so much. And I cannot wait to touch on all of that. So I'm super excited. So she's a mom to two littles. She's a med school wife. I've actually never heard that phrase, but I like it. But she's a creative in all the regards. I've seen her on Instagram. She definitely is in a lot of ways too. And so I'm really excited to kind of go from
talking about all that, what that looks like, because I actually do have a lot of mom friends who listen to this podcast as well. And so I'm super excited to deep dive into that. Okay, but first I have to hear a little bit of the love story. How did you and your husband meet? I am a love story fanatic, though I am single. I do like it. How did you
meet? Oh, well, get ready, because it was so romantic.
Oh, yes. Like,
oh, my God. Okay, so we have been together for 10 years.
Okay. Wow.
We've been, yeah, I know. He said, girl, ain't that crazy?
Yes.
We've been together for 10 years and married almost four. Our wedding anniversary is on February 18th.
Okay.
And we met in college and we both went to Baylor University, and how they did it for like freshmen, they would have like this welcome week. And I don't know, like how people, other people's universities did it, but they had all these like little events, and it was just like a way for you to meet people. So on move-in day that evening, they had this thing, it was called Freshman Serenade. So all of the friends there, like we call them CL at Baylor, but like the resident assistants, they would come up and be like, okay, y'all, we got to come up with this performance. And they would sing and dance. And then they would, like after they did their singing and dancing, they would go out into the crowd and give the girl a rose. And it was just, one, it was a way for guys to meet the girls, but two, it was a way for you to meet other girls in your dorm. So, you know, I was like, this is so whack. And I kept on seeing all the guys, and they were like, this is a way I'm going to, like, I met my wife here. I met my girlfriend. We've been together. And I, you know, me being me, I was like, I am not, one, going to meet anybody here. Two, Baylor is predominantly white. So I was like, I know I'm not meeting nobody black here. And I'm all down for the swirl, jungle fever. I support interracial relationships. I really do. But I like at the time, that's not what I was looking for.
Right.
So I was like, I know I'm not going to meet a black guy here, period. Like, I just knew it wasn't happening. So I guess he was like the third or fourth group, not sure. But I remember seeing him in the crowd, and he wasn't singing. He was just standing there with his hands in his pocket. And if you've ever seen my husband, he's really huge, super muscular. And I was like, oh, God, here we go. One of these. So then the song ended, and he was like walking toward me, and I was like, I know he's not coming here.
He saw you from afar, like,
yeah, girl, he, okay, so he, what he said was he saw my smile, and then later on he changed it and said he saw my booty and these like Daisy Duke shirts. So he came up and like he was like, do you want to dance? He gave me a flower, and I was like, sure, whatever, I guess. So then he was like actually super funny and super cool. So we danced, and then they like, it's not like you stay there for like 30 minutes. It's like after 5 minutes you go. So he was like, can I have your number? And for me, like, I'm super extroverted. So I was like, sure.
Yeah.
I wasn't saying like, sure, we can go out on a date. I was like, sure, you can have my number. And I gave him my number, and he never called. But it was so funny because we kept on running into each other. Like the next day I ran into him at the gym. Like I said, he's like a buff nerd. And then the next day I ran into him like at the dining hall, and I was like, oh, what did you just like get into? And he was like, I just came from church. And I was like, wait, what? You just came from church?
You saved?
Not only that, but you know, you just move into college, you all excited, you know, you're gonna go party and stuff. So they had this welcome week party. I know this is super long, my bad. But they had this welcome week party, and it's like the huge like shebang before you start classes on Monday. And he was leaving while I was coming in.
Okay.
And he was like ready to go, but then when he saw me, he like stayed a little bit. And then I was like, all right, you ready to bounce? And he was like, sure. So I told my friends I was leaving. They thought we were leaving to like go hook up. And I was like, nah, I'm not like that. But we left because it was a boring party. It was super boring. And we ended up talking to like 2 a.m. just about like silly stuff.
And that's how they get you.
Yeah. And then it was just like, then I remember like we were walking to class one day. I was walking with a girl who was actually his best friend in high school.
Okay.
And we had just met over this time, like over this like short welcome week period. And she was like, how do y'all know each other? And I was like, wait, how do y'all know each other? And we just started walking to class and eating lunch together and dating and holding hands.
Oh my gosh, so cute. What were you, what year were you when you guys met? So, freshman, you said?
No, this was freshman year, like the first day.
Okay.
We met on the first, yeah. Well, it was my first day. He was in this lead program, so he had been there for 2 days, but it was my first day when we met.
Oh my gosh. Look at that.
Yeah.
Little college love.
I mean like it's so weird every time like his birthday comes around, which he just had one in November. I always say like I remember your 18th birthday because he went to school when he was 17 and then he turned 18 in November, and it's like it's kind of weird now that he's 28 and it's like, dude, like I've basically been at all your birthdays since 18 and like you can't get rid of me.
There you go. You're so cute. Oh, that's so cute. I love to hear those stories. Okay, that is kind of like a, I mean, I wouldn't say love at first sight. Maybe you would, but it was like a see you across the way.
But like, I don't know about other people's colleges, but Baylor always was like, who knows? You might be sitting next to your match. Who knows? Okay. You might. And I would be like, oh my God, how much more must I endure of this? And then I met my husband, and
that's awesome. Oh my gosh. Okay, so y'all date obviously all through college. Fast forward.
Yep.
Y'all graduate. Okay, no, it's yep. fine. Yeah, y'all graduate. And then how many years after you graduated did you get married? Like how many years later?
Okay, dun dun dun. That's where the plot twist comes in.
Okay,
so we graduate in 2014. Mm-hmm. He graduated in May. I graduated in December. Mm-hmm. So like now you have to look at 2015, and that was possibly like one of the hardest years because we had gone from seeing each other all the time,
right,
to just seeing each other like every other month, every other, like every few weeks and stuff. And he was like trying really, really hard to get into med school. So like he was scribing at a hospital and his hours were like 4 p.m. to 2 a.m.
Right.
And it was a growing period for us because like I said, we had never really been apart.
Right.
And then it was like, now it was adulting hitting us. I was trying to find a job. He had a job, but the hours right. were weird. So that was like the first year. And then we kind of got into a stride, boom, 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 boom. 2016 hits, everything is going good until we go to Chicago in May. One of my friends, he got married. Mm-hmm. He and his wife are actually our children's godparents.
Okay.
And we go to Chicago and we are living it up. I mean, we are like dropping money here and there, eating, all that jazz. And I kept getting sick on the trip. So he was like, you know what? Just go to the doctor, blah, 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 blah. Girl, I go to the doctor. She was like, sis, you pregnant. I was like, excuse me? She was like, yeah, you're about 26 weeks. And I was like, excuse me?
Wow.
So I'm like scrambling. My dad, he's in Africa. So I was like, we can't tell my mom and not tell my dad. We can't tell my dad and not tell my mom. Like I was like, okay, we can just wait. Let's wait 1 week until my dad comes back. And then we can both tell him. And then we'll tell your parents. And at this time, he had already gotten accepted into the master's program. For like, cause he was going to do a master's to get into med school. And I was like, crap. Oh my gosh. You know, hyperventilating, trying to figure out all the things. And then we were like, well, we're already going to get married. Let's just hurry up and get married. And I was like, nah, nah, nah. Like,
yeah,
let's not. And, we told my parents, we told our siblings. And at first we thought that everybody was going to hate us. All the people who hated us were my sisters. Awkward. That's just
I know her sister.
My parents were like, okay, all right, so what are you guys gonna do now? And I was like, okay, all right, that's it. And I ended up saying I didn't want to get married because we were having a kid.
Yeah,
I wanted to get married because we love each other. And we did. We were together 6 years without, you know, without any children, and we loved each other so much, and we were going to get married. The plan was like he was going to get in med school and then we were going to get married. Looking back, oh my gosh, if you can hear me, oh God, being married in med school is hard. So just be prepared.
Yeah. Well, be so prepared. I have a question for you real quick. I'm going to pause you real quick. I have a question for you. So obviously y'all weren't planning on having a kid and then you got pregnant. Were you pursuing, so he was looking at med school. Were you pursuing like certain career things of your own? I mean, I'm sure you were, but like, did you kind of have a simultaneous plan? And if you did, how did that kind of, like, what was that like? Not just obviously getting pregnant, but also thinking about, okay, these are things that are now going to have to shift for me.
Right. So it's so crazy that you said that. I applied to physical therapy school like in secret.
Oh, okay.
I didn't tell anybody that I did it. I knew he was getting, like, I knew he was applying to the master's program. And I was like, okay. But I didn't, like, for me, I have a really hard time being super vulnerable with people. So I was like, I don't want to tell people and then have them pray and then I don't get in and then I have to grieve this like openly and just, And it was, we went to the wedding. I came back, found out I was pregnant. The next week I find out I didn't get into the school.
Okay.
So wow. I was like, okay, all right. I guess this was supposed to happen.
Right.
So I actually do want to go back to school for physical therapy, and that is the plan. He's now that he's done, he's going to go into residency, and I'm going to go back to school, and it's just all about the Lord's will. And you know, we'll get into that more, because when we get on the topic of my son, you'll see why I wrestle with going back to school, because I do know that my first ministry is my children and my husband and my children, like our whole family. So it's really hard for me to be like, all right, I'm just about to go to school.
Right.
And it's like, well, what am I going to do with my husband? Like, what am I going to do with my kids?
Yeah.
But yeah, we were both actively trying to pursue professional careers in medicine, him doctor, me physical therapist.
Okay.
Yes. Oh no. So then, our son is born. He's a dream. He's a delight. And this is where things like hit the van. So he's born in September. We get engaged in November, married in February. He finds out about, like, he had gotten accepted to one school in November, which is why he proposed. Because he was like, I can't propose to you without getting into school because we won't have any money. We get married in February, you know, we move in together, he finishes his school program, and then it's like, all right, med school is about to start. And we didn't know if we were going to be moving to San Antonio, Iowa, Kansas City, or what's the other school? I think it was in Tennessee. I think Meharry is in Tennessee.
Okay.
And it was like all these choices, and he was like, which one would you want to do? And I was like, wherever you want. But I was like, Lord, please don't let it be Iowa. Like, please don't send me up there.
That's so far from like what you know, and you're about to have you have a kid.
No, we already had Kyan. So yeah. I was just like, oh my gosh. And then like he had gone up there and he really liked the program. And I was like, please, please. But then he ended up going to Kansas City and he really liked that one. And I was like, I could do Kansas City. I could do that. And then he solidified his payment for Iowa. Mm-hmm. And the next day he got accepted into the school that was here in Fort Worth, and he really wanted to stay here in Fort Worth, and then we stayed. And so that's been our thing. And then a year in to medical school and to our marriage, well, it was like a few months, I would say like 10 months to a year. Mm-hmm. My mother-in-law came and kept our son, and we thought we were, you know, grown and sexy, you know. And then we got a beautiful daughter 9 months later. So
I wouldn't encourage
anybody to be like, oh yeah, the grandparents got the grandkids, because God is always like, I can give you another.
And were you planning on having them that close together?
No. One, so like after we had Kyan, we were like, okay, we cannot have any more kids until you are done with med school, like, period. Even if we were gonna have more kids, because I was solely like stuck on one, we can have one and we will be fine. Mm-hmm. So when she came, I was like, this has got to be a joke. Mm-hmm. And she came in one of the hardest years not only like in our marriage, but in school. And it was hard in our marriage because of school.
Yeah.
And because of like family. Like we had a kid. He was studying 12 to 14 hours a day.
Yeah.
He was taking tests. It was to the point where like, this is going to sound like I was doing a disservice to myself, but if you're in my shoes, you understand I really wasn't. If we had an argument and we needed to address it, sometimes we couldn't address it right then.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, I can't go to sleep angry or process. It was, he has a test tomorrow. And if we talk, he's not going to be mentally prepared for his test tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So there were some things that I had to work out with myself, you know, pray. I would call seasoned married women who believed in the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And wouldn't be like, girl, you just need to leave. You know what I mean? These were wise women. I had like a handful, of seasoned women who I would just call and be like, this is what we're going through. And one of them, I just love her to death. She was actually a former, her husband's a doctor. So she like, they had gotten married in med school. And she was like, sometimes you are going to have to just journal how you feel. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, process it. And then when it's the appropriate time, you guys can bring it together. And I would just encourage anybody whose husband is in professional school, because it could be law school, you know,
right,
med school,
right,
because they read so much in law school, good God almighty. But just anybody whose husband is like in a professional career where it's a taxing toll, to have just a core group of seasoned women who you know won't tell your business, won't talk about you,
yeah,
who will like literally stand with you, pray with you, be there for you, and then tell you the real, like, you're really upset. Not because he's studying 14 hours a day, but because he wouldn't watch Grey's Anatomy with you, which I would be. I would be mad. I'd be like, it's just a TV show.
And I feel like, so this is you're in a new territory. And I want you to talk about like actually some of these emotions that went with all of this, because I think, and I don't know if you had your whole life had dreams of like being a stay-at-home mom, or like had this idea of like how it was going to look, like, you know, how long you're going to be married before you have kids, all that kind of stuff. Cause I feel like a lot of girls have those, you know, fantasies and dreams. But, you know, thinking about, not only was it just like you had a working husband, but you had a husband in a career or a master's program right now that was going to take a lot of time while you you had two kids at the time. Or you have to now too. But what can you talk about some of those feelings and dive a little bit deeper into some of those feelings and like really how you felt and what it looked like to work through them? Because I think sometimes also as women, I feel like we feel, you know, like I have to be a mom. And so because of that, it's like a debacle of like putting my career on hold or what I want to do. And my husband gets to do these things. And
oh God, yes.
Sometimes, like the honest truth is sometimes like there could be a little, it could be hard at first to like go through that in your head and really understand like this is either where I'm supposed to be and maybe not happen. Mm-hmm. Like what did any of that happen at all?
Okay. All of that happened. It's a reoccurring process of those emotions.
Yeah.
Because my daughter was born in August. My son's born in September. So she's born. My son's not even two yet.
Yeah.
So then he turns two. I have a two-year-old and a one-month-old.
Yeah.
And I see my husband get up, get dressed, and leave the house every day.
Yeah.
For hours. And I'm like, I want to go. Yeah. I want to go see people. I want to talk. And then he would be gone and like studying and like doing, they have to do like a like mock-up patient doctor interviews. Right. And he's majorly introverted and I'm majorly extroverted. So he would exert all of his like social capacity during the day. And then I would come home, he would come home and my hands would be like on my chin, like perked up, ready. And like, hey babe, how's your day? You want to talk? Like, what do you want to do? Like just going. He's like, sorry, babe, I'm tired. I'm like, you're tired. You're tired. And I would be like, why aren't you giving me anything? And
yeah,
like all you do is study. And oh my gosh, I would always say that to him. You just study. But look at us now. It's like payoff.
Yeah.
But for for me, this is the honest to goodness truth. It was my selfish desires of wanting companionship, not just from my husband, just wanting companionship in general. Mm-hmm. Feeling alone, feeling left out, because you have to remember, we went to school together. All of our classes were pretty much the same.
Yeah.
You know, we took the same things, or he took them first, or I took them first. We were able to talk about things. Now I'm still here and I see you moving forward. We're not learning the same thing anymore. Like, we used to be able to talk about science. Now, if I brought up to him like a, you know, like myosin and the release of ATP, he can go into like, he can go into like an even deeper. It's like he's learning so much. And here I am at home with two kids. One of them doesn't speak because my son's nonverbal. And the other one is a newborn. And to be honest, I didn't even want the newborn. Mm-hmm. Not saying I would want to get rid of her. I didn't want another baby. So I was still processing having two kids when I only wanted one. Mm-hmm. And the life that I saw was not the life that I wanted.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was actively grieving and then projecting my feelings onto my husband, saying, oh, you're always at Starbucks studying. You must be like, you know, drinking coffee all day and talking to all these baristas. And he's like, I don't even like talking, you know, period. But it was just, I was so sad because it was like, I saw him get up, get dressed, leave. It was the life that I wanted. And oftentimes a lot of people don't talk about jealousy in marriage, but you can be jealous of your spouse. And I was, because I felt like, and I was jealous not for, you know, oh, your pursuit. It wasn't about career.
Yeah.
It was jealous of the social aspect. I was jealous that his body got better while I was pregnant. Oh, I was so mad. Like, I was jealous that he could, you know, get a full night's rest. I couldn't get sleep because my son would wake up in the middle of the night and he didn't really want Kareen at the time. Now he does. And then my daughter, he couldn't do anything for her.
Yeah.
I was breastfeeding. So he would just like get her and be like, all right, here you go.
Yeah. What are some steps? So, cause I'm sure some of the women listening are like, I've felt that, you know, I felt that at some point in my marriage or with my kids. I have a lot of friends who listen, who have littles. And so just because of kind of where the age bracket of my friends. And so how, like, what are some steps that you did to like work through that? The other thing I want to ask with that too is like, do you feel like there was a loss of identity for you of like, I just don't know
for sure
I am anymore?
And it's not just who I am. It's, I didn't recognize the person I was seeing every day.
Yeah.
Because the person who I would describe myself as, oh, I'm fun, I'm energetic, I like to do this, I like to do that. And I was basically waking up and we were watching PBS and I was doing, you know, like learning activities. Like, who are you? Mm-hmm. When have you ever been a teacher? Like, that wasn't me. So it was, I didn't recognize my body. Mm-hmm. My body had gone through major changes in a whole span of 2 years. And even though I was exercising and stuff, it was still different. I had stretch marks in places I never had them. The boobs hung a little bit lower. Like, I had more like fat on my hips and I was just like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And then I see, you know, my husband who still looked the same as in college. And I'm like, I've literally birthed your children and you are here looking perfect. And, but it was like a loss of identity. I even suffered from postpartum depression, and I don't think it was like from identity. I was unhappy.
Yeah.
So what I started doing was like, after I talked to a few people, was one, I started talking to a therapist because I wasn't hating or resenting my marriage. I wasn't hating and resenting my children. I wasn't hating and resenting, you know, the life that we had. I was trying to process, who was I now?
Yeah.
Everything just happened so fast. Like I said, you know, I had a baby, then we got engaged, then I got married. Then I became a med school wife. Then we got pregnant with another baby. So I became from being this single person who could just go to Chicago and eat and spend as much money as I wanted, you know, go shopping and do whatever, to a mom, fiance, wife, yeah, med school wife, a mom again. And at first I was working. And then when I got pregnant again, I was like, I can't work with two kids, because it's more money to have them in daycare than it would be like doing, yeah, my paycheck. So then I become a stay-at-home mom. So, and then I'm in a new city. I didn't know who I was. So I was doing therapy for myself to process, right, who am I now? And then I started coming up with just a bunch of different things. I started like getting dressed up on Friday just for myself, yeah, not for my husband. I didn't want him to be like, "Ooh, girl, you look good." If he said it, thank you. Mm-hmm. But it was literally for me. I got dressed. I got up and got dressed just for me. Mm-hmm. I would stay up and watch TV that I enjoyed, because a lot of married people know, you, it's like, okay, I gotta wait for him, I gotta wait for her to watch this, and if I watch it without him, I'm binge cheating, and then they'll be mad. I found like programs that I enjoyed,
yeah,
podcasts that I enjoyed, and I would do that for me. Moments when I felt like down and I was like, oh, what are we going to do today? Okay, we're going to Chick-fil-A. We're going to eat, and then you guys can play in the playground. Play dates. Oh my gosh. Play dates were my everything, because my husband, he would have to go away in the summer to do training, and I would be alone with the kids when I was pregnant with Kaiza, I was alone with Kyan for a month. So I was 8 months pregnant alone,
yeah,
for a whole month. Then when I had both of the kids, I was alone for 2 months. And then this past year, with the kids obviously older, Kareen was gone in the middle of COVID for 5 weeks. So, I mean, it just,
yeah,
it takes a toll on you, because it's like, oh, I'm always being the primary caregiver. But when I found those things of like, you know, when the kids go to bed, I'm going to have a nice glass of wine. Or when the kids go to bed, I'm saving the cinnamon roll just for myself.
Yeah,
that's what I did for myself. I found things that I enjoyed,
right?
And working out was one of them. It was like, I don't care, rain, sleet, snow, shine, we are going to work out. That, yeah, was my morning thing. That was for me. And then with Kareem, my husband, we started doing things that were solely for us, making time. So,
yeah,
Sunday became our days,
mm-hmm,
because it was at the beginning of the week. So that was our day to pray, to talk about what happened the previous week.
Yeah.
Because at that time, you, like I said, you couldn't just have heavy conversations every single day.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of it for the both of us was, we could be mad at each other, and then 2 days later, we had already processed it within ourselves and bring it up and be like, yeah, this made me upset, but I'm kind of over it now. Like, right, just moving forward, I would like this. Because also another thing that we didn't realize in the beginning was, yes, we had been together 6.5-7 years, but we were learning how to love each other in this new state.
Yeah. And that's different. That's like a different shift.
It's a huge difference. It's like widely huge.
Yeah.
But it was like, I guess that's what I would say for us. We made a point to continually learn how to love each other in that season of life that we were in. Because now he's a fourth year, COVID is here, and he's home. So he's doing, girl, yesterday he did 4 loads of laundry.
And you're like, thanks, Bill.
And I just sat there and I was like, whoop, okay. But before, I mean, that was unheard of. He would be like, hey, and when I get home, can you have my white coats washed? Like, Negro, excuse me. But he was always on the go. Like, it makes it, like, now looking back, I mean, it makes sense. But in the moment, I was like, I am not your maid. I am not your chef.
Yeah.
And then I would find tiny ways to love on him throughout the day. So I would write him like little notes, like, I'm so proud of you. Like,
yeah,
you are my greatest joy. I would just little notes that he would like wake up to. I would put him in his books, in his laptop. And then I would meal prep for him. Yes, I would cook, and I would cook for days. He would have breakfast burritos in the morning, because he would have to get up super early. And sometimes at one point in time when he was studying for boards, he woke up at 3 a.m. He would be up from 3 a.m. to about 7 p.m. every day studying.
Okay.
And I would just make him breakfast burritos and just pre-made food so that it was like, no, I'm not physically doing it at the moment, but it's from me. And that's how I'm telling you that I love you. And with the kids, it was, let's just have fun.
Yeah.
We don't have to be, because that's another hump that I was going over, that I'm still going over, is the expectations of how I thought motherhood and parenting would be to what my reality was. And I thought it was going to be, you know, we're going to wake up, we're going to get dressed, we're going to brush our teeth, we're going to go potty, we're going to eat, and then we are going to go to a play date, and we'll do this, and we'll do that. And it was, I'm getting awakened at 3 a.m., putting them back to bed, waking at 5 a.m., putting them back to bed. Then they're waking up at 7, cranky, because they woke up 2 times a night. And this was like an everyday.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, how can we have fun and still learn at the same time? And yeah. I just engrossed myself in a lot of books, looking up a lot of activities, museums, zoo. I literally stalked Pinterest for every kind of like activity they could find for kids. And like I said, my son's nonverbal and he actually just got the autism diagnosis. But at the time we like, when I say we just got it. So at the time I'm just doing like, how can I get his speech right. going? How can I get his mind going? Things.
Yeah.
I am like, and then my daughter, I'm like, okay, how can I bond with her? Like I bonded with Kyan, because you know, your firstborn, you have so much time with him. The yeah. second is like, okay, throw this shirt on.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's really good. And there's a couple of things that, like you said, I want to come back to Kyan about the autism thing, because I think that's something I really want to like sit on for a second. But okay. I like two things that you said. One is a little bit earlier when you were like, learning to love in a different season, because I think and that could cross people, I think, even if they're not married or if they don't have kids, but just like loving people in general, how sometimes like it's, because I think sometimes when seasons change and like people are off, that's when they automatically think like, oh, maybe we shouldn't be friends, or maybe we shouldn't be together, or maybe this relationship isn't working, when really it's just like the seasons have changed. And so you have to learn how to shift, how to love each other well within those different seasons. I think that's so smart. I'm like, so glad you said that. Cause I'm like, I think a lot of times it's less like I fell out of love or we just don't work as friends or whatever. It's just like, no, things are different now. You still vibe.
Yes.
It's just like,
and I have,
how do you change, oh, how sorry. Do you change it to make sense for where you are right now?
And I have wonderful friends who realized that I went from, I could be available at all times to, okay, I know I should, like, let me see when I can call her.
Yes.
And then we can talk from these times, or I can say, I can call you in the car. And they were understanding of that. Some of them weren't. And they'd be like, oh, I don't want to bother you. And I'd be like, no, like, just tell me and I'll make time for you. But the ones who loved me through that whole period, like we're still great friends, best friends today. One of my best friend, Kiara, she used to come over every Monday and we would watch The Bachelor together. Her job would be out here where we lived and she didn't want to come home. And I was like, well, just come over and eat. And then it was the first time she just came over and worked. But then the second time she saw that I was like having a really hard day. And she was like, well, let me just grab one of the kids real fast. And then it just became our thing. Every Monday, she comes over. She works a little bit. I cook dinner. She plays with the kids. We eat. We watch The Bachelor. And it was just, she found a way to love me through that season and still keep our friendship super duper close knit.
Yeah. That's super important. That's, I think, like, everyone listening should know that too. It's like learning how to shift for what makes sense for the people around you. It doesn't necessarily mean that, like, you need to be done for. It's just right. like, it's sacrifice. It's like carrying each other's burdens, which is a very like biblical concept.
Right. And to even like harp on this subject a little bit longer, that's what I had to learn with my husband.
Yeah.
Because each semester, of medical school is different.
Yeah.
It's not the same. First year, they're trying to weed out the people who really shouldn't be there. And a lot of people drop out or a lot of people get held back.
Yeah.
And some people remediate like classes.
Yeah.
And for him, it was like, okay, his schedule is this. And then the next semester it changes. So then it was like, okay, how can I, you know, wake up when he wakes up, make sure he has his coffee, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it wasn't, I was being a servant to him. I was serving him. But I wasn't his maid. I wasn't his doormat. And it was, how can I love him? And for him, he was learning, how can I devote time to my wife in the midst of school and parenting? Like, because she just needs me. I know she just needs me.
Yeah.
So he would come home and be like, hey, some of the girls in his class, hands down, amazing babysitters. He's like, they're going to come over and they're going to watch at the time it was just Kyan at this time. They're going to watch Kyan. We're going to go out. I was like, wait, what? We're going out? Or he would say, get dressed. Like, I got a babysitter. So he was actively finding babysitters. But of course, with people that I trusted and people that we both trusted. But he was actively finding babysitters just to be like, I know you want to go to this restaurant. I know you just want to get out of the house. I know you just want like 5 minutes alone.
That's so great. Yeah, no. And I just love that. I think that was like so good to keep hearing, because it's just like, and everything's seasonal, right? And I think in the moment we don't believe, like,
yes,
we see that it's a seasonal thing and it's not forever. And so we like live in this like, this is my life, it's over situation, you know, or it's not right. What I want. And it's like, mm-hmm. No, like, this is a season. Like, how do I just keep reminding myself, this is a season, it will change, but for now, like, this is what's gonna work and it's okay, and I'm gonna learn and grow in this season. I'm gonna be better for it.
And what's crazy is, I know I've been saying season a lot, I've actually changed my mindset from season to temporary.
Okay.
And I changed it because for me, I am science and time. I love math. That is how I am. And when I heard season, and I'm gonna take this into Kyan, when I heard season, I would hear, you know, summer to fall, 3 months.
Yeah,
fall to winter.
Okay, that's
three
fair.
Months.
Yeah.
But then it was like, why am I still in this season? It's supposed to be summer.
Yes,
winter.
Oh, that, yeah. And yeah.
So I started saying it's temporary because we started noticing around 18 months that our son, he has great motor skills. But when it came to speaking, it was just, he was just behind. And now we have to get him evaluated again. But I think it was around when he was three, he had the motor skills of a three-year-old, three-and-a-half-year-old, sometimes like in different categories of four-year-old, but his speech was 17 months and he can tell you like by pointing or taking you to the object about what he wanted. But I would cry many nights, I still do sometimes, but just be like, Lord, why are we still here in this season? And then I had to take season out, because this has been almost, you know, a 2.5 year journey. But it's temporary. It's a temporary journey. We're here. And last night, girl, he must have known I was going to do this podcast. Last night, he was counting and he had his hands up and he was like 10. And then he would drop a finger and go 9. And he'd drop a finger and go 8. And he did it all the way to 1. And then he did it again. And I, like, we prayed with him. We said goodnight. And I was like holding back my excitement. And I came out of the room, like in the living room. And I was like, Kareem, have you ever seen him do that? He was like, no, I've never. He can count. He knows his numbers. But we've never seen him count and drop his fingers at the same time.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, he said it. He did it.
Oh my gosh.
He dropped his hands. He knows what he's doing. And actually the day that he got the official autism diagnosis, that morning, literally an hour before his appointment, he made a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Not like, oh, mommy's gonna help me. I literally pulled out everything, gave him the knife, gave him the step stool, and he made it. He even tried to like cut the sandwich in half.
And that was not something he was doing before.
No, he okay. just like, he really wanted a sandwich, and Kareem was like, can you make it for him? I was like, just let him make it himself, because he knew what to do. Like, that's how he asked us for things. So if he wants a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, he'll get the bread, he'll get the peanut butter, he'll get the jelly, he'll get a knife, and then he'll bring it to you.
Yeah.
And be like, this is what I want. That's how he communicates. And I was like, just see if he could do it himself. So he was like, I don't want to clean up the mess. I said, okay, well, I'll do it. So I'm just standing there and he's literally doing amazing. So I don't want to interject. I just let him do it, and he's eating it. And I'm like, you know what, Lord? I needed to see this before his neurology appointment, because I know no matter what they say, he is capable.
Yeah.
He is willing, and he will do. We just have to do some fine tuning on what he actually needs to progress in life. So this season of him not being verbal is temporary, because I know he can do.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really hard, this has been a really long and hard journey with him. I actually, did like a 7-month fast of no alcohol, and like every day just pleading with the Lord, like, God, please let me hear his voice. Please. I just want to like see what he's going to be like, because this is the unknown.
Yeah.
And we've never had kids. He's our firstborn. He is the blueprint.
Yeah.
And two, it's just, I had never seen it growing up. So I'm like, now I have to learn all these different ways. I had to learn how to reach him, learn how to love him, learn how to like communicate with him, and, you know, find extra resources. And I was like, God, I am giving everything I have, and I am tired.
Yeah.
So I'm praying and I'm pleading. And during this whole like COVID period time, like literally just out of the wazoo, he learned his alphabets, uppercase and lowercase, his numbers, 1 to 20. Now he can go all the way to 100, which is just beyond me.
Mm-hmm.
He can write. He can write his name. He can read, you know, certain words. He was like, he's labeling. He does his colors. He sings songs. He's beginning to dance. And it's just like, you know, I was praying for speech only.
Yeah.
And the Lord was like, let me just show you everything that Kyan can do, because
that's awesome.
He's wonderful.
That's awesome.
He's wonderful. He's,
how would you encourage, someone listening who is, I mean, you're still in the midst of it, obviously, like what would you say to the woman in the midst of it just seems really hard, like disheartening right now? Because I know, Even before you got this diagnosis, even before you saw some of the victories that you've seen this year, just how hard
it has
been just to like not know what's going on with your son, but he's a little behind, and trying to figure out all this stuff, and just being like, I mean, was there ever as a mom where it's just like maybe this mom guilt or like whatever it may be? Was that there, and how do you encourage a mom who's feeling that? Like, I just don't know. Like, it just, we just started this parenthood journey, and I'm already just being exhausted with it.
Okay. Well, this goes for Kyan, and this goes, you know, for parents who are dealing with special needs, and then just any parent, but specifically for special needs, I'm going to say a few things. Cry, 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 let it out.
Mm-hmm.
There is no one that you have to be strong for. Like when it, like emotionally strong for, if you don't like let it out.
Yeah.
Emotional healing is a strength. Like, like being able to connect with your emotions, like personally, and identify what emotion you're actually feeling is that's strength. So saying, I can't cry because, you know, I got to be strong. No, let it out. Go in the closet, go in the shower. You know, just cry, let it out, and identify, say, I am angry. This is an angry cry. I'm a sad cry. This is a I'm desperate cry. Mm-hmm. This is I'm over it cry. Let it out. Another thing, because I'm going to give like the non-biblical answers right now. Talk to other moms or dads who are in the same situation you are. But not just community, not people, because I don't want to say community, because sometimes community people can say, oh, like, you know, my parents, my siblings, my friends. It's got to be parents who, if I were to, right now, I have a group text. If I were to text them right now and say, Kyan just took out all his toys and threw them at the window and almost broke one.
Mm-hmm.
I know for a fact they will say either their child just did that too, did it last week, or is in the midst of doing it, because we're in that same circle, but community is a great word, but I want to say people who are in the likeness of your situation.
So that have like similar kids with maybe similar situations and stuff.
Yes. Okay. Because it's, and then hang out with them. Hang out with them because it's just, sometimes they know something like a different service that you have never heard about or a different resource that you have never heard about. And that leads me to my next point. Talk. Yeah. Be open to talk because, and I'm not saying share your business. I'm not saying, you know, be vulnerable whenever, like when you don't want to be. Just be open to talk because every time I've said, oh, my son's nonverbal, I don't say, you know, we've been going down this road. Someone will say, oh, my cousin or my nephew or my sister or my, and this is what they did. And then now you have opened up this whole avenue and umbrella of just like resources that they could have had or experienced, which are like, you know, usually the older people, that was like in the 1990s. And now there are so many things available. Yeah. Take tiny moments.
Yeah.
To just reflect on the good job that you're doing.
Yeah.
Because all of the time we are saying what we're not doing. And because in the midst of Kyan, I was getting on myself about not bonding with my daughter. I was like, I'm giving all the attention to him, none to her. All of the stuff she's learning is because Kyan is learning. I'm not doing one-on-one. I'm missing her as a mom. We're supposed to have this mother-daughter bond. Who am I? Like, everything is all about him. But then I'm like, if I don't make it about him, then his needs aren't met. His sensory needs aren't met. Like, I'm just like beating myself up. And then I was just like, you know what? You made your kids breakfast today. They're still alive.
Like, that's good. I mean, that's good. I think it's so easy as people, regardless of your mom or not, but like just people to be like, these are all the things that were bad. And like negativity is like the easiest thing to grab onto. And it's like, no, like we had, like I had a functioning day or like I did this or like me and this kid did that. And we're not superheroes. Yeah. I mean, like we are, but like, you know what I mean? Like we're not invincible. That's a word I've learned in 2020. It's like, we're not invincible. So we just can't do it all. Like completely all the time, and that's okay. And I feel like the sooner we realize it, kind of like a lot of what you've talked about in your story, the sooner we realize it, I feel like we're better people and even better parents for it.
And the best you can be transparent.
Yeah.
Like I talked about the core group of women. I have a core group of like wives, and then I have a core group of moms because all my mom friends aren't married, and that's okay. But they know, like, if I come up to them and I'm like, y'all, today is a day. It's like, come on, mom, let's hug it out. And have a core group of people that you can be transparent with. And that can be your spouse as well. If you just want to only be transparent with them, but I'm saying, get you some more friends. Cause sometimes men don't get it.
Yeah. Have some ladies, ladies have other ladies. I think that's a little bit important. Have at least one or two.
And be transparent to the point where, because truth be told, most of the time in motherhood, you don't feel seen. When you're transparent, you're allowing people to actually see the intricate parts of who you are, not just who you are as a mother, but who you are. So when you're transparent with your core, sometimes I will tell people like, oh man, today was a horrible day. And I will get like Tiff's treats, like surprise Tiff's treats. Those are like some of my favorite cookies. And I will literally just be bawling because I'm an emotional eater and people know that I'm an emotional eater. So I just told them like, I'm having a horrible day and they sent cookies. And it's like, they know, they understand. And then I'm not saying cookies like make the whole life situation better. But in that moment, it's like, okay, I feel better. Now I can conquer the rest of the day.
Yeah.
And I know I have a friend. And then I'm encouraged to do the same for another struggling mom. And she says, oh, today is just horrible. Or you see a friend who's just like, yeah, girl, you know, like we're down to the last of it and we don't have any diapers. we got so many diapers when the kids were younger. It's like, oh, okay, send you a box.
Yeah.
But it's just when you have been poured into, you know how to pour into others.
Yeah.
And because mothers were constantly pouring into our kids, sometimes we feel empty, and we want our spouse to supply our needs and refill us. And sometimes they're not available, or sometimes they don't even know what to do. Like, cause
they don't know what,
because we're not being transparent.
Yeah.
So you have to be transparent and honest and be like, look, I need a cup of coffee. I need an hour to myself. I would like to read a book today. And that's what's going to refill me today. Just yeah, today.
I feel like they're also like a good, I mean, maybe this has been learned, but like a good communicator. And I think a lot of that just is with communication too, of like, I love the transparent piece, because it's like, we also tend as people to like, want people to like read our minds, or like
yes.
figure out, be like, they should know that I'm
right
literally mad. And that could be your spouse or even your friends. Like, they should know that my life is hard, so they should constantly.
After 10 years you should know if I slam the door and the exactly. and the doorknob jiggles that I'm mad, but if I slam the door and it doesn't jiggle, that it was an accident.
Yes. And all of that should be interpreted so you know how to react. And I love this transparent of like, even the way you said, like, I need a coffee, I need this, I need that, of just being honest with people of like, this is what I need. We're not mind readers. Like, we all have things going on in our head. Like, this is what I need. This is what's going on. Here it is. And that yeah. way people can understand better of like, okay, this is what I need to do. Like, as a friend, as a husband, as a whatever, as a parent, like as a, you know, your parent to you, like, this is what I need to do. And but that can't happen if we're not being real with people. And again, like you said earlier, not everyone and every person on the street, but I think everyone knows who those core people are for them. And
yeah.
we need to do just a better job being like, this is real life. You know, this is
right. real life. And, you know, just going even deeper, journal, write down moments. I have like little like notes of, you know, Kyan said his ABCs today, or, you know, like yeah, my daughter,
yeah.
she said seriously the other day. And I was just like, I was so taken back because she used it in the proper context. And I was like, oh my gosh, Lord, she's about to be so sassy. But then I was just overjoyed because she was like, seriously? And I was like, oh my God, she should be an actress because she has it. And then journal down the difficult moments, because then you can read back and be like, man, I was waking up, you know, three times in the middle of the night, and now that's not happening anymore.
Yeah.
And you can see where God has, like, how he kept you in that moment, and how he, like, you know, blessed you to this moment that you're in now.
Yeah.
When my daughter was, when she was first born, I documented it like a few nights, because Kareem, he would always say, why haven't you slept? I was like, why haven't I slept? Kyan would go to bed around like 7:38.
Yeah.
My daughter, I would nurse her. Then she would go to bed around 9:30, 10.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause, you know, newborn.
Yeah.
Then I would say, okay, let me get a little bit of time for myself, because I just want like 30 minutes.
Right.
Then I would go to sleep. My son would wake up at 12. Then I would put him back to bed. Then my daughter would wake up at 1 to nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And then my son would wake up again. And then my daughter would wake up again at like 4 to nurse. And then my son would wake up again. I would put him back to bed. Then my daughter would wake up to nurse and then be up for the morning.
Oh, okay.
And then he would wake up and I would just be sitting there like, I literally just slept for 2.5 hours. And that went on for months.
Yeah.
Not just like weeks. That went on for like, probably about 7 or 8 months, because when she got out of the I'm not eating every 3-hour, 4-hour period, when he got up, he would wake her up. So now I'm sitting up in the living room with two kids. Their dad is in the bed asleep because he couldn't hear anything.
Oh my goodness.
And but now I'm like, wow, even if they wake up once, I'm like, they didn't wake up 6 times. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. No, that, I mean, that's nice. And it's so beautiful to see, because I follow Shay on Instagram, and I also love how you kind of like use your stories to kind of share some of this stuff. And so you should follow her. She's great. But just like even over time, like seeing it, just like how you've been honest on that. So I think to encourage people and like kind of see your victories and how it's changed, I think is so, so cool. Like so cool. Cause it's almost like getting a, you know, like to see like, oh, okay, like God really has shifted and like answered.
Yes.
And like done a lot, like for you and your kids. And that's, it's really awesome. It's so, so cool.
And last thing. Ask God, when you're in the midst, what are you trying to teach me here?
Yeah.
Because sometimes people is like, oh, he's trying to teach me patience. I can honestly say, yeah, patience was a part of it, but it wasn't the main thing.
Right.
He was teaching me how to not only see my husband, see my son, see my daughter as individuals, but to love them individually to their love language.
Yeah.
Which is very difficult because, you know, for me, I'm like, okay, one size fits all. Kids, we're not going to different restaurants. We're all going to the same thing. But I had to say, you know, my husband likes this. I can meet him here.
Yeah.
I can't talk to my daughter and son the same. One, because my son, he needs a little bit more attention to understand it and communication wise. My daughter, I could say, Kaza, go over there. She's got it. So I had to learn how to reach my son, how to reach my daughter, how to love them. Not only that, he told me how to, he was teaching me how to be a steward of my time. Mm-hmm. I wasn't wasting time. I wasn't saying, okay, well, I can just, you know, lounge on the couch. I was like, okay, if I can get up or if I can stay up a little bit later, then this will be done. So that I may have time for myself, not so the house is in order or the kids. It was like, how can I manage my time so that I could have some time for me?
Yeah.
I know the Bachelor comes on at 7 o'clock. So how can I make sure that everybody is in order and in bed, bathed, cleaned, so that at 7 to 9 o'clock, I am not to be bothered with.
Yeah, no, that's real. Yeah. Making time for that self care, like the thing that like, you know, gives you joy, like that makes you happy.
And he was teaching me, you know, to speak up. I'm super extroverted, but I was battling between speaking up to my husband because, you know, you're always taught, you know, respect, submit, honor, love. And I kind of like went into like a suppression mode because I was like, okay, he's the husband, he's supposed to lead, but he's doing that wrong. Should I say something? Should I not say something? Should I say something? No. Because if I say something, then I'm not submitting and I should be submissive and he's a leader, but then he does it wrong. And I'm like, you did it wrong. Now I'm mad at you. And I could have just spoke up, but he was teaching me there are healthy ways to have dialogue between the two of us to where it's not like you should do this. It's like, hey, honey, have you ever thought about, you know, actually putting the cereal in before you put the milk in? That's just an example. He doesn't do that, but I'm just saying like he was teaching me how to meet, like to reach him in love, but still like not be hidden. Because I think a lot of people say in marriage and in motherhood, okay, how can I serve them? And then you go into not being seen. And he's like, no, you need to be seen.
Yeah.
You are a part of this. So how can I not be hidden in this family and still respect and honor and love and cherish my husband and my children and also myself, most importantly myself.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's so good. Oh my gosh, all of that. I just feel like I feel like you're so wise and just like,
oh my gosh.
And you know, obviously like everything, so much has been trial and error, you know, in the last and like you said, a lot of this for you has happened so fast because you've been married for 4 years, your oldest is 4. So, I mean, all of this happened in the course of
four years,
but like just seeing like and hearing how you've talked about just your growth and like where you've come from and like your kids, it's just like you're doing such a great job. Like, I just feel like,
I feel like
you're just so much killing it. I want to switch gears a little bit to your big move. So, yeah, so your husband got matched.
Yes,
he's a med student, and so he got matched, and so y'all are going to DC. So like,
yes,
real? Are you? Well, I've seen that you're excited about it. Definitely. Is there anything like you're nervous about? Have you ever lived outside of like Texas like that? Or
yes. So we're from California. So I've lived on the West Coast. Okay. I've lived in the South. I've never lived on the East Coast. So okay. I'm super excited about just East Coast life. I always hear you fall in love with it. And I'm super excited. I do prefer the West Coast myself. But I mean, I've never lived on the East Coast. So I can't say like I love it more. I'm excited because I feel like it's like another like fresh start for us. We can get some more like ground, like some more roots. Mm-hmm. We live in an apartment now and we're done with apartment life. So I'm like excited because I get a house. Oh my gosh, I've been in a house so long. So I'm excited about that. I'm least excited about leaving my parents and my in-laws because they're both in Texas. And it's just been super easy just with the grandkids to just be like, oh, let's just get in the car and go to them. Yeah, let's just go. Or, but because of COVID, we have figured out Zoom and FaceTime and all that jazz. And so that's been a blessing. And I was super nervous I was like, oh my gosh, Lord, if we move here, we don't have any friends. We only have like a limited amount of family. And when I said that we were moving, people came out of the woodworks like, hey, me and my husband, we live here. Hey, I live here. I'm like 20 minutes away from where you guys are looking. And it's literally been countless people after people. And I was like, we're not going to be able to find a church. I was like, oh my gosh, but listen to this. Sorry. I got to tell you this. There was a family, the wife, she was Nia, my baby sister's, teacher growing up.
Okay.
And her husband, when we first started the church, my dad is a pastor. When we first started the church, her and her husband were at the church and then they moved to the East Coast. I didn't know where they moved, but they moved to the East Coast.
Okay.
So we've known them for a while, you know, believers, Christian family, beautiful couple. They had two girls, knew that. Well, she ends up calling my mom the week before last, right before we found out where we were moving. The Sunday we found out before we were moving.
Yeah.
She calls my mom and all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. And then she starts to tell my mom that she has a son that has autism. My mom says, oh, I didn't even know you had a son. She says, yes, he's 5 years old. And she says, well, you know, where are you guys? They're in DC.
Oh my gosh, God is so cool. God is so cool.
And I was like, you know what, mom, that would be so cool if we moved there, because he's orchestrating one, not only a Christian couple that's seasoned because they're a little bit older, but they're believers that can help us find a church, or we can go to church with them. And her son, she was like, yeah, I've just went through all these evaluations and ARDS and all that jazz. And her son is a year older than my son.
We
can
wept.
Play together. We can be together. She can help me like find certain resources in that area. And I was just like, you know what, Lord, sometimes, and like when I tell you, I haven't talked to her in forever. But sometimes I'm just like, how are we going to do this? And then he's like, well, you know, you remember this person? Well, he's like, a baby. And it's just like, good God, you are so amazing. And you orchestrate things and you just put things into place. And one of my really good friends, her cousin lives up there.
Yeah.
And I've literally known her cousin my whole life. And she fosters children. And I was like worried about babysitters. And I was like, Kareen, I would trust her with my life and I would trust her with our kids. And he was like, really? I was like, literally, I would trust her with my life. And so it's just like, you're just finding like different, he just keeps on like laying the foundation for a smooth transition. Even though we found out that we were going to move on the day that the insurrection happened at the Capitol, but
I mean, not here nor there.
That's that fear, you know, like, oh yeah, we're going to move. Oh crap. You know, it's just what happened with, you know, when, the Israelites were about to move and the spies went in and they were like, oh no, it's these huge giants. And Joshua was like, no, we must.
Yes.
We must.
Oh my God.
So I was kind of like,
That is so, you're like, okay, I guess we're still going.
Oh no, we are definitely still going. I have started to pack a little bit and I'm a processor. So I started to pack because I need to process over time.
Right.
I know that I need to grieve and process over time. Yeah. So I can't just wait until April and be like, all right, let's just throw everything in a box. I know I need to say, okay, I'm doing this. I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Like, because if I don't process, I will be a hot ball of mess, stress, and anxiety.
Hey girl, I understand. and moves are big deals, and they're big, but it's so evident. I was like, y'all are gonna thrive there, just already how things are orchestrating in themselves. It's gonna be so good. Y'all are gonna get like snow, a lot more snow. That's exciting. Yes.
And all the museums that I love are free.
Oh.
And I was like, see, I was meant to be here to go to like the art museum or the Museum of Natural History and yes, just DC get lost there.
DC has everything. I actually had a cousin that lives there. So if you need some food spots, I'll send them your way too. But
oh, please.
For like date please. Night, for date night or like girls night and stuff. I'll send them your way. That's so awesome. Oh my gosh. Ashay, this has been so awesome.
This has been. Oh, I loved it.
I'm so grateful that you came on the podcast. Okay. So before we end, I am going to ask you two questions that I ask everybody at the end of my podcast.
Okay. Let's hear you,
but, they really have like nothing to do with what we talked about. They're just fun.
Okay.
Okay. But if you could go to lunch with anybody, dead or alive, who would it be and why? And it could be like, it could be a neighbor, like someone, you know, not, or it could be someone like super famous, anyone. But if you could go to lunch with one person, like anyone, who would it be, dead or alive, and why? That's the first question.
Can I do two people?
Okay, you can do two people.
Okay, so my dead person would be my Nana. That's my dad's mom. Because I want to ask her all the questions about my dad that he never told us. And I'll be like, yes, Nana, you spill the details. Because from what I hear, I was a baby when she passed away. But from what I hear, listen, we were on the same wavelength. And alive would have to be Michelle Obama. That is actually my prayer that I run into her or like Kamala Harris. When I'm up in DC, like at a random coffee shop.
There you go.
I would love to just have lunch with Michelle Obama. I love her. I just love her.
Oh yeah. My gosh. Michelle, if you ever listen to this episode, Ashay is here and ready. And she's going to be close. So it's not going to be a huge flight. Kamala Harris, you too.
Yes. Just come find me, Michelle. Come
find her. You'll have so much fun. Okay, and the last one's like not really a question, but
okay.
I'm super big on encouragement and I love encouraging people. Mm-hmm. So I always ask my guests, like, if you could think of one person to encourage right now, you could say their name or you don't have to say their name, but just I want you to encourage that person as if they're like sitting right in front of you. And so just pick someone and just send them a nice little encouragement. And then my goal is that they would hear this episode and hear it at the end of the podcast.
If I was to encourage one person. Okay, girl, I'm talking to you. Not you, Margaret, but I'm talking to you, girl. I'm just going to say girl.
And tell her to listen to it.
Yes, I will. Do it. If the time is now, do it. That's all I'm going to say. Do it. The time is now. Do it.
Yes, girl.
And get it done. Not just do it. Get it done. Do it and get it done.
Do it and get it done. It is time, honey. It is time. Well, thank you so much, Ashay. And people, you can find her on Instagram. Her Instagram is Ashay.
Yep. At @UH_SHAY. Ashay.
Yes, you can.
I did that so people could pronounce my name properly.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes. But find her on Instagram. She's really fun to follow. I love her story. You get to see all her kids and her stories. She's just awesome. And I'm sure if you reach out to her, if you have any questions about what she talked about, especially if you have a kid with special needs, she would be more than willing to chat. I just told her.
Yes, I would be.
I'm sure you would. But yes. Okay. Let's